Hey everybody, Simon Rettner here. Before we get to the podcast with Madison McFerrin, I want to let you know we have a bunch of cool things up on our website right now at wbgo.org. You can watch a really cool video featuring the Robert Glasper Experiment performing Sade's Cherish the Day live at Marcus Garvey Park. And also a deep dive into the origin of the word jazz itself by our main man, Lewis Porter, the distinguished scholar and teacher. Both of those online at wbgo.org, but now on with a podcast with Madison McFerrin.
Look out, everybody. Looks like there's another musical family on the horizon. We're at WBGO, one of the premier jazz stations on the planet, so we know about the Heath brothers, the Marsalises, the Clayton brothers. Madison McFerrin might even know Marcus Gilmore, the grandson of the legendary Roy Haynes. But since Madison's emergence as a solo artist, now we got to look out for the McFerrins. Madison McFerrin joins us in studio. Finding Foundations, Volume 2, is her latest release, and she's going to be at South by Southwest soon. Madison McFerrin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
What are we going to hear?
I think you're going to hear some stuff off of Volume 1 and some stuff off of Volume 2.
And so let's just hit it.
Okay. Let's do it. Stop your reminiscing, 'cause I won't play the fool again. Every day you're gone, every day I move on. So it's plain to see that you weren't meant for me, 'cause I ain't got the time to lose on you, on you. No, I ain't got the time to lose. So why are you here begging? Looks like you didn't think of everything before letting me out of sight. Can I like? Can I come around? Say you're missing the sound of my every day. You can stay awake, 'cause
na 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 na
and the likes of you. You, 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 you.
No Time to Lose with the Reharms.
Hey.
Still finessing that song a little bit, Madison McFerrin. Does it feel like your career is accelerating? No Time to Lose right now?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, it's definitely going at a nice little pace, which is exhilarating and can be exhausting. But all of this kind of happened out of... I'd been thinking about being a solo artist for a really long time and just hadn't had the balls to do it. And
now, is that because your father looms in the background as
that's definitely part of it.
The premier solo artist of maybe all time, vocally
speaking?
Right, yeah.
That's definitely part of it. I hadn't even really envisioned myself as like a solo artist up until about 2 years ago. But yeah, it was easier to rely on a band and other people in groups. But it was interesting. Once I finally took the leap to do it, everything fell in place and like things have been going really well. So I think it was definitely the right move to make.
And not only have you been accelerating, but it's also been quite a roller coaster ride of maybe extreme high mountaintops to the lowest of valleys and canyons.
Yeah, but I think that's life. I don't think that's unique to a musical career.
It isn't unique to a musical career. However, you maybe had one of the more unusual events as an artist, as a social person in the public eye, that did sort of create a circumstance for you that was particularly trying and cause some turmoil in your life. And still, I mean, still a fascinating story to retell and think about even, actually. Well, let's just tell people what we're talking about here. What happened?
So I was asked to sing the national anthem before Hillary Clinton accepted her nomination for the Democratic nominee. RIP to hopes and dreams of that. But they asked me about 48 hours before I had to sing it. And so for those 48 hours, I was like strenuously rehearsing my version. But I had work and couldn't go to sound check because I chose my paycheck over that, which at this point in time was definitely the, you know, looking back, it's like I should have just gone. So I went. Hillary was about 2 hours late, and everybody that had been there for hours and hours and hours. And so then when I got called up to sing, they didn't introduce me, so everybody just started singing the national anthem with me. And you don't tell an audience of people to not sing the national anthem. And since it was such a beautiful moment, like everybody was so happy, I just like went along with it, and we all sang together. And then I got off the stage and looked at my phone, and my Twitter had blown up with people just saying like, you just ruined your opportunity.
Well, this
like,
was broadcast live on CNN.
Right. And too. I didn't even know that it was that part was going to be that I was going to be on TV, because usually the national anthem outside of like, you know, the NBA All-Star game and stuff like that, like other than like big games and stuff, it's usually not televised. So I was like, oh, I probably won't even be on TV. And then I was and singing poorly. And this happened to coincide with the fact that like I had been in therapy earlier that week. I had cried to my therapist for the first time about like not feeling good enough. This was also before I had started my solo career and still didn't have the balls to do it. And like was talking about how I didn't feel like I was a good enough singer, blah, blah, all this stuff. And then the internet told me that exact same thing, just magnified big time. And
I mean, trolls on Twitter, there's YouTube videos.
Yeah,
I mean,
the shade room,
the nastiness. Yeah,
Snoop Dogg
people.
Made fun of me.
What did Snoop Dogg say?
I think he like recorded it and was like, oh, can you sing or something like that. I don't even know, because I cried for like a week straight, essentially. But it was actually the best thing that's ever happened to me, because I finally put my foot down and was like, you know what? I've been working on this my whole life. I can do this. And I ended up booking my first solo show, which sold out. But on top of that, I was like, I kind of needed a kick in the butt to remind me that I still did have a lot of work to do. And now I'm only proving Snoop Dogg wrong. So, you know, why not?
And some kind of like little more meta thing from me just watching that event was mm-hmm. just how gracious you were with the audience, allowing them to be a part of the performance, which is absolutely a trademark of what your father does and yeah. what is instilled on you. The audience is like a part of the show.
And right. And of course, like they're not mic'd. So you only hear me singing and not the audience, you know? So I was like, oh, great. My brother Taylor equated it to like, if you have a bunch of people singing happy birthday in a room, if you were to just mic one individual person, they're not going to sound good, you know, because we're all just singing with each other.
And you're all trying to match the same tone and
the same rhythm. Totally.
And it's, yeah, it's just,
it's a mess. It's a hot mess.
But it was such this kind of gracious, kind of selfless thing that you did too at the same time, which almost puts almost a different kind of irony on the whole
situation.
Anyway.
But it's, I mean, like I said, I had read this book around like right afterwards, and there was this quote that stuck out that was talking about how, you know, you get to choose how your story ends. Because at first I was not talking to people about it because I was just still really embarrassed. And then I finally was like, you know what? This is either the moment in my memoir where I like turn into a coward and my career doesn't do anything, or this is the moment where I'm like, you know what? That happened. I'm going to make more mistakes. I'm not going to make that mistake again. And, you know, I'm better for it. So,
yeah. And we all have to, like, you know, look at ourselves in the mirror, you know, all of us as humans every day. And besides, like, you have plenty of fans in your network. Giles Peterson is a huge fan of yours and put your that single we just heard on his Brownswood Bubbler compilation. You have all this buzz and momentum behind you right now and people vouching for you. And certainly I'm a huge fan of yours as
Thank
well.
You.
So
yeah, no, that
do
moment
not...
in time is like not even an issue for me anymore. I talk about it at all of my shows just because when I had a show in San Francisco over Thanksgiving break, and somebody from the Sacramento Bee, they wrote for their like things that are happening this weekend, and they said something like, Madison McFerrin, daughter of Bobby McFerrin, will be singing at Brick and Mortar on Friday. She famously like messed up the national anthem. This hopefully she'll be singing something more congenial to her range. And I was like, wow, really? And they didn't even put an author's name or anything like that. I hope they came to the show because I killed it. But it's one of those things where had somebody written that about me like a year ago, it still would have hurt. But at this point, I'm like, I tell that story all the time. Like, I know that happened. You can't come at me with that. So,
all right. Well, Madison McFerrin, I understand that this next tune is actually inspired from these events one way or another.
Sort of. There's an element of it. This song, it really came naturally. It's in response to the police brutality that continues to happen in this country, and how Black people in this country are perceived by the majority, and particularly cops. You can catch it on Viceland during the commercial breaks at the moment. So if any of you guys watch Viceland.
I've seen it. It's beautiful.
Oh, nice. It was a very cold day when I filmed that. Let's see, let's start it. Ooh. 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 justice. How absurd that a single word can go unheard of in places with faces like mine. They say, stop, step back, hands up, look down. That won't keep you off the ground. Wounded for what we've earned. Yet you wonder why we want to end this war. Instead of just stop, step back, hands up, look down. But that won't keep you off the ground. They say you better stop, step back. Put those hands up, look down. But that won't keep you out the ground, no. Oh. Oh. Keep you out the ground, no. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light, but so proudly hail, while we're all out here screaming, 'cause we're all out here screaming.
Madison McFerrin, you may call yourself a future soul artist, but I hear a lot of jazz and playfulness
with.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The way. Can't deny that.
I wonder where that comes from.
No idea. I had somebody once after a gig, and this was when I was in a band in college. Somebody came up to me and they were like, somebody in your family's got to be a jazz musician. And I was like, yeah, actually, that is the case. It was completely unintentional, but you can't help what you grow up with, you know? So,
Something that I think is under-celebrated or under-recognized in your father, Bobby McFerrin, is the humor and playfulness and timing, like almost comedic timing mm-hmm. he can have in some of his performances.
Oh, yeah.
And just willing to put himself out there in the most goofy way imaginable and doesn't really give a crap.
Yeah, no, he's ridiculous. But that happens at home, too. Although he's a lot more sheltered at home. He's way more open and stuff on stage. I think that's a safer space for him for whatever reason. But he's always been really, really silly and really goofy. We laugh all the time. So,
And it's kind of interesting to see your development and also in Taylor McFerrin's development, because what you guys are doing is so, in a way, much more serious and like refined and has like this style.
Mm-hmm. There's a third.
Yeah, right.
And he's on Broadway. So
with that Broadway show.
A little known
Hamilton,
one.
Hamilton, yeah. You know, that one. But I don't really know his work so much as a solo artist.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just in terms of, like, I don't see you banging on your throat and, you know, making sounds off of your chest and, you
right.
know, like, making weird mouth noises.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, in Insane, when I build it live, for the kick drum sound, I hit my mic. And when I was recording in the studio, the mic that I was using wouldn't allow me to do that. So I actually had to hit my chest to make the sound. And I was like, wow, this is very much my father right now. So I was like, I had to tilt the mic down and was like banging on my chest. And I was like, all right, well, you know, it happens.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And actually, a little tidbit, my dad helped me arrange that song.
I can totally hear it, too.
I recorded in his studio. All of both Volume 1 and Volume 2 are recorded in his studio. But that was one where he actively like sat down and listened to it with me a bunch of times. And there are some very distinct moments that were like, you should do this, you should do that. And I was like, all right. And it sounded better because of it. Grasping memories between my graze against my skin, grace in every inch. Oh, you know you belong in my bed. I can't get you off of my brain. Feeling like it's never enough, 'cause your love's got me going in. Same.
My brain feeling like it.
Insane, Madison McFerrin. All right, well, unfortunately, we don't have very much time left. A good example of, you know, something that I wouldn't see your father doing, like at all, is a partnership with Fauté, the electronic-based artist that you collaborate with. Who is Fauté, and what is this track we're about to hear?
So Fauté is a friend of mine, who wasn't a friend of mine until we did this track. So that's always cool. Based in Brooklyn. This song's called Outrelux, which his management reached out to me. This was like last January, something like that. I remember it was cold. And he just sent me the beat. And I remember having a really difficult time writing to it because it's, you know, there's no distinct like chorus verse type of situation. Just because there's so many varying parts that happened, and didn't really end up writing the song, like the lyrics and the melody. I had some melody ideas, but until I got to his apartment and recorded in his closet, which is his vocal booth, and it happened really organically. Like we vibed really well, and he was really into how I layered my vocals, so we just did a lot of vocal layers. The vocals are kind of haunting in a way, which is really cool.
And when you go back for like repeated listenings, it like grows on you. You almost like have his music in general does that, where you like start hearing these different parts. And
I'm really happy with how that collaboration worked out, especially because, you know, I'm not an electronic artist, so to have my own stuff exposed to that audience has also been really amazing. And it was on my favorite show, Broad City, so that was really cool to hear my voice on there. I'm always really interested in stepping into situations that I might not have otherwise stepped into, so I was really happy with how that collaboration worked out.
Well, keep you in mind for that, so maybe I'll throw some ideas at you. Madison McFerrin, well, let's listen to Outrelux Fauté featuring Madison McFerrin. Cool. Thank you.
Ta-da.
Thank you.
Fauté's Ultra Lux featuring Madison McFerrin from Fauté's recording Onism. And we thank Madison McFerrin for spending some time with us in our studio. And we have some videos of her that we shot of her performance, looping herself right now at WBGO.org. And definitely make sure to check out her new recording, Finding Foundations, Volume 2. And Madison McFerrin is coming to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas for the first time. That begins March 9th. And if you like this electronic groove, which you know I do, Fauté links up with another favorite electronic artist of mine, Quantic, live at Elsewhere Hall in Brooklyn, and that's on March 15th. The Checkout is a podcast, and you can subscribe to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And make sure to follow us on social media, The Checkout from WBGO, our Twitter handle, @CheckoutJazz, tweet at me, @SimonRetner. A special shout out to our production intern, Anthony Nieves. We are a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.